So there were two travelers, and they had been walking for a very long way, and it was very hot, hot day, speaking of sunshine. And they'd gone a long time completely exposed to the sun. And then there, like a beacon on a small hill, is a tree. And they come to this tree. And you would think that there would be a kind of response that we might expect us to have, right? But these two travelers, boy, they just went to a different direction with their experience. And so the one traveler says, "Oh, this tree has no fruit. It is absolutely of no service to humankind." This while they're standing in the shade, right? Beginning to sit down and rest. And the other says, "Oh, yeah, I was really wanting some fruit too." And you can almost see like the little thought bubble, right? "Oh, if I could only have a juicy piece of fruit. Oh, I wish I had fruit." So there they are standing in the shade, right? Just longing for that which they do not have. And the one got more miserable as they thought about that fruit that they wished for and just plopped down in disgust. Now, a few days later, there were two other travelers who were walking a similar path. Again, a really hot, sunny day. They had been exposed for a long time. They come to the tree, and the one says, "Oh, I am so grateful for this shade. This tree, how magnificent, truly is a beacon on this small hill." And the other says, "Oh, me too. This is so fantastic." As she lays down on the cooled earth in the shade of that tree and soon drifts off into sweet dreams. Now, which of those travelers would you want to accompany you in your life journey? And which of the sets of travelers are you? How are you showing up in the world? It's always a question for us, right? It's always a choice. One of the things as we're talking about the topic of gratitude this week in Thanksgiving, I was thinking about, you know, because we just recently wrote this annual report for our annual meeting, and usually we kind of look through the whole year and everything we've done, and we can't always talk about everything we've done, but about 10 pages worth of things this community has done, right, in the last 12 months. And so I said to Felicia that day, I said, "Wow, you know, have you ever like written a resume or an application, and afterwards you go, you know what, I've done a lot in my life." You ever had that experience? Like suddenly it's all there on paper, you know, and you think, "Wow, I've traveled a lot of miles here and accomplished some things." That's how I felt about our community when we wrote that annual report and look back at all that we accomplished together. So when's the last time you took stock like that? You know, that can be one of the ways that we begin to feel filled up and grateful for all that we have experienced. And of course, it's not just about outer accomplishments. That's just the beginning, right? It's really more about the depth underneath that, the things we have experienced, the connections that we've had with other people, the moments of love and friendship and infilling, the time somebody had told us how much that we meant to them, or we told them what they mean to us and felt filled by that, overflowing in the heart. So it's all of that that helps us to recognize that there is fulfillment in our experience, and there is healing moments and transformative moments. And even though we go through tough things, we know every time we do, we get stronger and more resilient and have blessings that come with that experience. Especially easy to see that when we're through it, right? But even when we're in it, I always think of what Maya Angelou said, "Whatever happens in life, let your first response be thank you." That's really walking the talk, isn't it? That's really a recognition of an affirmation of what is yet to come, of a knowing that there is always goodness even in the difficulties of life. even in the losses of life, right? Grief is an expression of love. And so we're recognizing that big love that we have experienced when we feel pain from having lost someone in our lives. So, you know, next time you look in the mirror, I want to encourage you to think about all these miles you've traveled, and maybe you can reach for one of those sayings that we all know, "You've come a long way, baby." And you might even add, "And the best is yet to come." See if that won't put a boost in your day to begin that way every morning. You know, this month is Native American Heritage Month, and this Friday is Native American Heritage Day. I know we thought it was Black Friday, but nope. It's Buy Nothing Day. It's Friends. It's also known as Friendsgiving. Have you ever used that term? So some people get together with their family on Thursday, and then they get together for leftovers with their friends on Friday and call it Friendsgiving. So, but really, isn't that what Thanksgiving is about? Friendsgiving. Isn't that what the original idea of Thanksgiving was about? When the Wampanoag and the Pilgrims came together, and this story that we have about the friendship and the love and the cooperation and the sharing that happened. Well, Native Americans are asking us now for a little more truthsgiving. Because while that moment in time may or may not have happened the way that we might imagine it, we have been telling our children stories for centuries that feel like a whitewash of the pain that Native Americans have endured through genocide and so much more. And so it's a recognition of the truth and telling the truth. At the same time, we're still celebrating Thanksgiving. I heard one Native American man say, "Thanksgiving is wonderful, a coming together of family and friends to share gratitude, to feast. This has been a part of our tradition since the beginning of time. Nobody would want to take away from that beautiful holiday experience." But please just tell the truth a little more about our experience. It's not exactly how we remember it. And so that is one of the gifts that we can give during this Heritage Month, is to begin to listen more and to speak more of the truth and to own up to more of our past. We can't fix it, of course, but listening is a first step. Atonement is another step that we can take. Doesn't wipe everything out, but it's something we can do. And so in whatever ways that might show up for us. So I've been listening a little more to what Native Americans are saying, Indigenous peoples are saying, and, you know, some, you know, of course there's always, you know, it's not like a monolith, right? Everybody's going to have different opinions, different individuals, different tribes, tribal affiliations are going to have different opinions about how to honor and assist in this sort of crusade of truthsgiving, if you will. And one of the things that I've learned by listening is to stop treating Native Americans like they're an artifact of the past. They're living, breathing people today that are bringing forth, in some ways, still holding customs. In some cases, completely aligned with modern life. In all these different ways that we come together, it's just an honoring. An honoring, an allowing, a celebrating of each other. So here at Unity of Walnut Creek, we do have a relationship with a group of Ohlone people from Indian Canyon near Hollister, California. Anne Marie Sayers is their matriarch, and she came here in 2010 and blessed our buildings when we did a big renovation. Just this year, for our 75th anniversary, her daughter Carrie came and blessed this Ohlone land. And this week, our board decided we wanted to tithe to Indian Canyon. And so I called to get some more information, and Anne Marie Sayers was put on the phone. I never had the pleasure of getting to meet her. But I mentioned to her, because Shari had told me that she had been ill, and I said, you know, I understand that you've been having a health challenge. And she said, yeah, I have. And I said, could I pray with you? She said, I would love that. We just had this really beautiful connection moment, you know? And it's like those kinds of things, if we just stay open, we keep asking, we keep saying, I'm teachable, you know, let me grow in my understanding so that I can share the abundance of my life in some ways. And so if we keep asking those questions, we can build these relationships and we can help heal and transform and work together for good. Lynn Twist, does anybody know who Lynn Twist is? She's an author, and some of you know her. And she's really well known now for establishing the Pachamama Alliance. And what happened for Lynn was to have her tell, at least in the early days, she would say she was living a country club lifestyle. And one day she heard a talk and she just kind of awakened to her purpose was to work to end world hunger. And she did all kinds of amazing things across our planet, went to places and worked with people toward this end. I believe she still does that work as well. And at one point got to work beside Mother Teresa before Mother Teresa made her transition. And then in the late 90s, Lynn started having mystical visions, dream time, dreams. And in those dreams, she felt pulled to the rainforest of the Amazon area. She didn't really understand what it was about, but it was compelling, so compelling that she and her husband Bill and some others went and followed the call. And there they met the Atyuar people, and the Atyuar people in the rainforest there were nervous about putting out the call. They're dreams time people. That's a big piece of their warriors too, but there's a big piece of working in dream time. And so the call had been heard through the dreams, which is really beautiful, isn't it? And the Atyuar people explained when these northern allies came that they were very afraid to do this. They hadn't had much connection with the modern world, with people outside of their beautiful slice of heaven on earth. But it was an urgent call because, as many of us know, the rainforests, now known as the lungs of the planet, were in grave danger. That through the oil mining and the ranching and the farming and all this, that much of the rainforest was beginning to recede and their home was in dire straits, and or could have been, and so too the rest of the people of the earth. So they felt like they needed to put out this call. And what they explained was that it wasn't so much about outer action to stop the oil companies or the ranchers or whatever it was. While that might have been a part of what needed to be done, they explained that what needed to be done, in their words, is to change the dream of the modern world. And they needed northern allies to help get that message out. So the dream of the modern world, the illusion that we'd been living under for so long, this overconsumption way of life, had to shift. So in other words, it was a call to shift consciousness, a call to change the way that we see the goodness of the world, not so much as abundance like never-ending supply, but sufficiency, plenty in our sufficiency. A depth of abundance. And that was the call that they answered. And so for 25 years now, this is to me a new Thanksgiving story, a modern day Thanksgiving story, a vision of a new holy day. And this is Lynn Twist here with an Atyuar man making that connection, building that friendship and cooperation. You can look up the Pachamama Alliance to see the many, many things they have accomplished in the last 25 years, and you can become a part of it if you feel so inspired. So Lynn has met a lot of amazing people around the world, and one of those is Brother Steindl Rast. Brother Steindl Rast is a Benedictine monk, a beloved man who's known as the Grandfather of Gratitude, is his nickname. And of course, gratitude has been his favorite topic, and he's 97 years old now. And Lynn asked him about gratitude, and he said, you know, there are two branches of gratitude. He said, one branch is gratefulness, and that branch of gratefulness is like when you feel filled up with light and love, and you are one with the divine, and you are so full that you are almost busting at the seams. You know that feeling? Have you had that feeling before? where it's just, life is so good and you feel so connected. And there is that sense of just complete and utter oneness. You're contained in that bowl of life with your God. And then there's a point when it's just like, it's not quite overflowing yet, but it's right teetering on that edge, right? And then it begins to overflow. And when it begins to overflow, because you are so filled with great, it is such a great fullness that you have, right? A great fullness, that it then flows into the second branch of gratitude, which is thanksgiving. And then you are so glad there is an other, because you have so much to give, so much to contribute, so much to share, so much to give thanks for. You know this feeling? It's like when you first come into new teachings. Maybe this was your experience in New Thought or somewhere else, or it's principles, or you just get really turned on by some spiritual thing or way of being that you've just learned about. And you are so passionate, you want to just yell it from the mountaintop, right? Or the rooftops. You want everybody to know how fantastic this is, right? Have you been that person or been around that person? Yeah, they're going to give you the books and the workshops and all the things you need to do because this is the most fantastic thing they've ever found. It's that feeling, right? It's that overflowing feeling. It can also be a very quiet kind of thing. It can be a sense of just a bubbling up of goodness. And then it's like your words just become sweet nectar, right? You just want to appreciate everybody and tell them how much they mean to you. Because it feels so good to be in that kind of space with another. It feels so good to be that kind of traveler in life. So these two branches are really the way that we can live our lives. You can imagine that we could live our whole lives within these two branches. Filling up, feeling grateful, feeling prayed up, having practiced gratitude, feeling so good, and then flowing out to share it. And then we flow out and we share it for a while, and then in the sharing, we start to feel filled up again, and then we feel more filled up, and then we feel overflowing, and then we share it again. And so it is these two branches that we are, the standing talls, as Indigenous people would call us, right? We become ones who stand taller. And to give then that shade, that fruit, that life, that goodness to others. That's our journey. It's about growing up and out so that we can serve in this way and be filled through our service, true thanksgiving. So when we go back to that story, that opening story of the two travelers, and think about the one grateful for the shade of the tree, the two travelers, and then the two longing and missing for something. And then the idea that those original two travelers, you know, it was in their fullness that they felt so happy and fulfilled by the coolness of the earth and the shade that they were getting, that they began to express thanksgiving, right? They thanked the tree. They started just saying it out loud, which means then the other person heard it and felt it as well. And so it's that dynamic, right? It's a contagious thing, our attitude of gratitude or our attitude of negativity, whichever route we decide to go. So for us, we can just be aware that, recognize those moments when we are in the presence of that kind of feeling that feels like it's sort of draining our energy, that, you know, that somebody is in that kind of space, that we can make a decision then of how we want to be and what we want to do in that scenario, right? So that we aren't continually taking in that which brings us down. And then we also can build our immunity, right, to be around what 12-steppers called stinking thinking and not go there ourselves, right? So, and we do that through our own practices, our own gratitude practices, whether that's keeping a gratitude journal or just speaking gratitude or, you know, praying gratitude or infilling, whatever it is for you that it is. It's a simpleness, a simple practice. Every time I come to write a talk, I always tell you these backstories, but it seems like every time I come to one of these topics that we have covered so many times, I go, I told Brenly, I was like, I don't know what to say. Keep a gratitude journal. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. But then pretty soon it starts working on me, right? It's like, oh no, I guess there is something to say. And then he can't shut me up. Oh, it's part of the joy of being with you, truly. I love this congregation so much. I hope you know that, how very much I love all of you. Yeah, coming up on our 7 years together, and I hope 7 more. You know, one of the great things that I love so much is not just individually getting to know you, but collectively who we are. To know that there is a place on earth where people can come through the door. And my sister, who had never been in a Unity church the first time, said, wow, everybody's so non-judgmental. It was like our first experience in a church where she felt that way, you know. She's like, everybody's just so friendly and kind, and there's a warmth, and there's a sort of sense of welcome. And so it's like, that's just the frosting on the cake, right? But for me, it's the depth. It's the depth of the walk that you're on. It's the depth of the journey you're taking. It's the depth of your spirituality, and you're constantly wanting to grow and to learn and to stretch and to apply these things, because that's what really makes such a profound difference on the earth, and that we have a place where we can come together in this way to do that. So for each of you who contribute to that, thank you. Thank you for enriching my life so much. So it's fun, isn't it, to express our gratitude. See, now I feel full. There it goes, off to the other branch, right? This is really, gratitude is happiness, right? Happy people are grateful people. They prove it. The scientists have proven it. The University of California, Dr. Robert Emmons, lots of other social scientists, they finally said, you know what? This isn't really fun to just study what's wrong with people, the pathology. And so this whole thing of psychology and research on what's right with people has started, right? So the study, there's lots of data on happy people, and happy people are grateful people. Happy people have gratitude practices. It's not surprising, but it's kind of cool to hear that science has proven it, right? And then what they have also found is that there's a level of happiness that's all good, and it goes up profoundly when you express your gratitude. That other branch, that Thanksgiving, brings up our happiness level. So I want to introduce this very fun little video just so we can feel how good it is and witness how good it is to express our appreciation. This is from Soul Pancake.
Can you hear me? Loud and clear?
Hello, Annie. So, Wes, I know you've been my boss for a couple of years now. You have been a really great mentor to me, and I really appreciate that.
So, I just want to thank you for being a great dad. You're always there to support me, even when I say, no, I don't really need this talk right now, but you're there nevertheless, and it's always just great to have someone to rely on.
For the past 12 years, you've been my best friend, and I want to thank you for everything you've done for me.
You've always been there for me, my number one friend. I think we both know that this is going to go a lot farther than school.
Although I know we've only been married for a year and a half, I know I don't always acknowledge how awesome you are.
You have a great sense of humor. You're witty and sharp.
And you're a kind person. And always thoughtful of others.
You're one of the sweetest, kindest, most thoughtful men and people in my life, and I really appreciate that.
And the whole time you were growing up, you made it so easy to be a mom. And I don't know if I've ever told you that.
You are absolutely beautiful, absolutely, and you are so, so talented. keep doing what you're doing because it is going to take you places.
Do we switch spots? Is that what we do?
Jackson?
Yes?
I'm so lucky that you're in my life today as not only a coworker, but as a friend. You're someone that inspires me every day just to keep a positive attitude and to laugh and smile and stay lighthearted.
I always really appreciate how you start singing at the drop of a hat because you have such a beautiful voice, and I love the way that you filled my whole childhood with song.
First met you 12 years ago in kindergarten, and I'm so glad I did because you've been my best friend ever since. It's the best, so thanks.
The compliment I want to give you today that I've never said to you before is your awareness of other people and how nice you are to everyone in the room.
You're very good at making everyone in a room smile, putting everyone at ease. I admire that so much in you.
You're honestly such an amazing person. You are my best friend in the world, and you always will be.
All I can say is that I really love you, and I don't know, it might be hard for you to believe because I don't act like it sometimes, but I do.
I like to say that I take after you because I think that you're just such a great person and I aspire to be more like you as an adult. And I think that if I could be just like my mom, that would be the greatest gift I could have.
You're the most beautiful woman I know. I'm so blessed to have you in my life. I probably don't tell you that enough. Yeah.
Isn't that good? Yes, full. So I just learned something else today because I was looking at that video and it was lovely at home, but it was so much sweeter watching it with you. You know how that is? It's just like because we were all in it together and that energy is amplified. So not another reason I'm grateful for you. Wow, this could go on and on. Well, let's remember as we move forward together this week about these two branches of gratitude, to allow ourselves to feel filled up, grateful, in the oneness, like, oh, there is no other. And then so glad as we spill over that there is another so that we can give back these blessings and this appreciation. I hope you will leave here or even stay here and tell everybody how much you appreciate them as it arises in your heart. So, and let's also remember that we're changing that dream. So we're shifting our dream as a part of this Thanksgiving and making a new Thanksgiving together as one. So I want to invite you into, we have two affirmations today for those two ends. Let's speak those together. I spread joy by sharing my appreciation for others, and I live the new sufficient collective life dream. And so it is.